Should human beings exist? It's a question you may never have thought about, but as our ravaging of the climate continues and our endangerment of other species ramps up, it may be worth asking whether or not we humans are a net positive for the world. Todd May dares to ask this question in the new book, Should We Go Extinct? A Philosophical Dilemma for Our Unbearable Times. Todd is the author of 18 books of philosophy and teaches philosophy at Warren Wilson College. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hi, I'm Todd May. I'm the author of 18 books of philosophy and was an advisor to NBC's recent television sitcom, The Good Place. I'm going to share with you five insights from my most recent book, Should We Go Extinct? A Philosophical Dilemma for Our Unbearable Times. Insight number one, human extinction is a moral issue. Suppose you were thinking of having a child, and suppose you were somehow to discover that your kid was going to cause irreparable harm in the world in which they grew up. They would be a Hitler, or a Stalin, or a Pol Pot, or some such. But you knew, you just knew, that you would love this kid anyway, even when they became an adult and caused all this harm. Wouldn't you have an obligation, a moral obligation, not to have the kid? It wouldn't be enough that you would love them, but that there are others around them who would love them as well. You would be morally obliged to forgo having the kid. Now, suppose that all of us human beings, were to give birth to kids who, when they grew up, would cause irreparable harm to the world. They would not only torture one another in small ways, they would also cause enormous suffering to the world around them, the non-human world, and even the environment. And suppose that there just wouldn't be enough on the other side of the moral scale to balance it all out. The good they would bring into the world would, for whatever reason, be outweighed by the harm and suffering they would cause. Wouldn't that be a reason, perhaps an overriding reason, for none of us to have kids? Sure, sooner or later the human species is going to go extinct. It's inevitable. But there's a moral question we need to ask as well. Should we go extinct? Are we morally obliged to erase our future existence from the planet? Insight number two. We actually do contribute a lot to the world. Let's start with the good news. After all, there are things we bring to the world that no other animal can, at least to the degree that we do. Here's a simple one, happiness. Of course, many animals are capable of happiness, or at least that's how it seems to me. Dogs tail wag, cats purr, and other animals seem to, well, smile. But it's different for human beings. We can be happy about accomplishing a project that we've worked on, or having a sports team win, or even thinking about future happiness. So far as we know, other animals can't do that, or at least very much. So we bring happiness into the world. To be sure, we also bring unhappiness with us as well, our disappointments and our regrets. But for most of us, the happiness we bring over the course of our lives outweighs the unhappiness. But there's more than that, more than just happiness. We bring a certain depth to the world, through our enjoyment and creation of art and beauty generally, our engaging in science, and our use of reason in seeking to understand ourselves and our surroundings. If we value these things, and surely most of us do, then our being here contributes something important. The world would be impoverished in insignificant ways if we were to go extinct. And there's more still. We're creatures who can envision and create lives for ourselves. We craft our lives in ways that other animals just can't. The world would lose something, wouldn't it, if it no longer had a species whose members could reflectively consider who they were and to one extent or another, mold life journeys accordingly. Insight number three, but we also cause a lot of harm and suffering. Consider this. On average, roughly 130 million pigs per year are slaughtered in the U.S., add to that 8 billion chickens and 32 million cows. Each American consumes, on average, one-third of a pig, 24 chickens, and a cow every year. Assuming that a typical American lives around 75 years, 65 of which are taken up with meat consumption, this is equivalent to nearly 22 pigs, 1,560 chickens, and 65 cows. Granted, the U.S. is a meat-consuming society. But other societies, especially India and China, are increasing their meat eating rapidly. And how are these animals treated on the factory farms on which they're raised? Let's take pigs, an intelligent species, for an example. Here's a description from MSPCA Angel, an animal welfare group. Quote, on factory farms, piglets are taken away from their mothers after just 3 to 4 weeks. They are then crowded into metal barred and concrete floored pens in giant warehouses where they will live until they're separated to be raised for breeding or meat. More than 1 million pigs die annually just during transport to slaughter. And as many as 10% of pigs are, quote, downers, animals who are so ill or injured that they're unable to stand or walk on their own. Factory farm male piglets are frequently castrated without anesthesia or pain relief, end quote, and so on. And that's just pigs and just factory farms. In addition to factory farming, there's deforestation, cruel and needless scientific testing on animals, and of course the climate crisis. All of these cause deep suffering among non-human animals, those that we share the planet with. Of course, many other animals, especially predatory ones, kill their prey in often very painful ways. But nobody matches human beings when it comes to the scope of suffering inflicted on our fellow creatures. Were we to go extinct, the level of suffering endured by non-human animals and general environmental devastation would radically decrease. Insight number 4. There are things we can do to make our being here more justifiable. It isn't necessary that we cause so much suffering to our fellow creatures. There are things we can do at least to lessen, and in some cases to prevent, the harm we bring to the planet. There are challenges that have to be overcome, but it's not impossible. Let's look at a couple of examples. We can certainly cut back on factory farming, which is a major source of animal suffering. The complication, however, is this. Factory farming is a source of cheap meat. It costs a lot more to raise an animal humanely than it does to treat it as a cog in a machine. People who are impoverished often can't afford to buy humanely raised meat. So alongside reducing the number of factory farms, there need to be policies addressing poverty in food deserts in marginalized neighborhoods. Difficult? Yes. Impossible? No. Another example is deforestation. Deforestation is in good part the result of the need for more farmland. This, in turn, is the result of population expansion. Reducing deforestation requires reducing population growth. The most successful way to do that is to offer opportunities to women for greater education, employment, and in general, greater agency. This, in turn, requires overcoming misogynist practices, which are often embedded in cultures and traditions. It can be done, but it requires sensitivity to cultural practices rather than just imposing policies from the outside. And that itself requires changes in how many people view other cultures. None of this is impossible. In order to diminish or eliminate these and other practices, that is, to make our continued existence on the planet more justifiable, we need to take a good look at ourselves and commit, as we might put it, to being a better planetary species. Insight number 5. These things become more urgent in the face of the moral question of extinction. Some people might look at what we've just been talking about, reducing or ending factory farming and deforestation, and say they're just good ideas on their own. Why do we need to discuss the issue of whether we should continue to exist? Can't we justify these proposals and others, like addressing the climate crisis and ending unnecessary scientific testing on non-human animals, without dragging in the question of our extinction? We can, of course. We can address the challenges we face, along with the policies that must be enacted alongside them, without asking ourselves whether our continued existence is morally justifiable. However, there is a reason to face the question, even if we can't come up with a simple answer. The question of whether it would be better for us to go extinct adds a moral urgency to these challenges that they might otherwise lack. It's one thing to say that it would be better for us to engage in practices that are better for our fellow creatures. It is another thing, a more disturbing thing, to say that if we do not do so, it might be better for us not to continue to be here. Most of us like to think of ourselves as morally decent. It's emotionally difficult for us to consider that we might be acting immorally. That's why, when we're confronted with evidence of bad behavior, we're so often quick to engage in rationalization. The question of whether human beings should continue to exist is, in a way, the ultimate test of our collective moral decency. It puts the issue in front of us in the starkest possible way. So, let me end this brief discussion by thanking you for listening and asking you to consider this. What should each of us individually, and all of us collectively, do in order to make the further existence of our species more justifiable?
Thank you, Todd. That was Todd May with 5 big ideas from Should We Go Extinct? A Philosophical Dilemma for Our Unbearable Times. For another take, check out our book bite for This Beauty, A Philosophy of Being Alive by Nick Riegel. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have an excellent day.